Amen. Father, we receive this morning insight and wisdom in your word. Thank you for clarity of explanation, precision and accuracy of reception. In this house this morning, the spirit of revelation prevails. We behold Jesus Christ, your son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. We're still looking at the wrath of God, or should I say we're looking for the wrath of God. Hallelujah. Have you found it so far? You've not found the wrath of God? Let me help you search more. James chapter 1 verse 16, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. We've been looking at the series, wrath of God, since Monday. We had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So if you weren't around, the wrath of God should pursue you. Hallelujah. Alright, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren, or do not err. That means believers can err. The word err is the Greek word planao, which means to be caused to wander. And we studied to find out that the wandering or the error will come from the scriptures. Remember that? Remember that? That the error will come from people's experiences, and very importantly, it will come from the scriptures. You err from the scriptures. Verse 20 now says, for the wrath of man does not walk, or walketh not, the righteousness of God. The word wrath is the Greek word orge, O-R-G-E, which is from the word orago. Orago means to burn up, which implies a reaction. So orge is used to punish or used for punishment. You know, when you do something and then the other person reacts. That's an orge. He reacts back to give you exactly what you did or to pay you back what you have done. Now we found out that wrath of man does not walk the righteousness of God, or walketh not the righteousness of God. And besides, you know, we looked at certain personalities, for example, Job. Job chapter 42 and verse 5. Job said, Job 42 verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see. Now, I was teaching somewhere over the weekend, and ended Saturday morning, and we were talking about, forgotten the theme again. And then we began to look at the character of God, you know, in Christ, and some people didn't just like to know that God is only good. They were unhappy to find out that God doesn't do evil. How would you be unhappy? You just became unhappy. You could find something like, but why? So I said, but then a man, an elderly preacher, he said, why then is he almighty? Can you see? Can you see his impression? I said, that is the wrath of man. It worketh not the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. I asked him a question. I said, so how did Jesus defeat the devil? He paused a bit. How did he defeat the devil? Because I was speaking in Yoruba, actually. I was preaching it in Yoruba. So I said, how did he defeat the devil? I said, he opened the Hebrews 2. Then he opened the Hebrews 2. By death. That's his power. So that's why the Jews think it's a stumbling block. And the Greeks think it's foolishness. Hallelujah. But to us, that's the wisdom of God. And the power of God. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? Job 42 in verse 5. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but my eye seeth you. In other words, Job had known God by rumors, what people were saying around. That's how he knew him, by what he heard of him. So, but now my eye see. In other words, he had been living by presumption. He had been presumptuous. In Job chapter 1, verse 20, then Job arose, Job 1:20, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, he didn't sin, but he charged God foolishly. Praise God. Said that on Tuesday. You can correct that statement. He did charge God foolishly. Yeah, because God said to him, who is he that darkened counsel? Not true. And so he charged God foolishly. Job 3, verse 21. So verse 24. For my signs cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. So, he was always panicking. He was always having prayer meetings over prayer meetings. He attended every Christian program available in Lagos. What are you looking for? No, I just want to know God. No, he's panicking. He thinks God is asking for those things. Job 1, verse 5. It was so that when the days of the feasting were gone about, that Job went and sanctified them, his children, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my children or my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Let's finish that verse. Job did how long? So I said continually. Was praying every day. Was confessing. He had a book of confessions. Was confessing to confusion. Was praying. You go to this program, they will give him sand. You collect it. Another program, they will give him water. You mix it together. Then they will give him candle. Say, I just love the Lord. No, you don't love the Lord. You don't know Him. How can you love someone you don't know? Because he felt in his heart, he was assuming that his children had sinned, so he was offering those offerings continually on their behalf. He lived in assumption. He lived in presumption. People believe that if you want to go out in the morning, you must pray. Say, why? Ah. If you don't put God first, He will be angry. Interestingly, God doesn't live in day and time. So if you are going to count days with God, you will be praying all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you have people, you know, they have that assumption that they will just be going to church, and God will be seeing them, marking register. You came today, you come tomorrow, you know. This he did continually because he had a wrong impression about the character of God. So we said that the key to knowing God is to have faith in Christ. And I'm going to go over some things I must have taught you before so that you can have a better understanding. Again, the key, or the better thing, the way to know God is by faith in Christ. Say faith in Christ. Together again. Faith in who? Faith in Christ. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Of course, he's not talking about the Bible there. He's not referring to the Bible, because like we say, we just in the beginning was the Bible. The Bible was with God, and God was the Bible. The same was in the beginning with the Bible. All things were made by the Bible. Without the Bible was anything made that was made. The Bible was life, and the life of the Bible was light of all men. The Bible shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't comprehend it. That doesn't make any kind of sense, does it? Come on, talk to me. It does not. So you can have the Bible and believe the whole Bible. In fact, the way to not know God is to believe the whole Bible. By believing the whole Bible, you will never know God. Because not only God was spoken of in the Bible. Believe the Bible as true, but not believe every statement in the Bible as true. Because the Word of God is a person. When it says the Word, the statement, the word, Word in the Greek is Logos. Logos means reason. A reason or the reason. Now, why does he use Logos for Jesus? Reason for what? Because the word reason has to do with a thought before an action, a thought before a statement. So if you have the, in the beginning was the Logos. Are you still there? Are you still there? Pay attention now. It says, in him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness couldn't comprehend it. So if he says the life was the light of men, where will be the darkness? The darkness will be where? In men. So the light shineth in darkness. In the darkness. And the darkness could not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So he came to bear witness for what? Now who is the light? The Word. In other words, the word to bear witness means, is a Greek word martureo, you know that, M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. It means to speak for another or to speak of another. So the reason why he called, why he said the Word is that he is behind the prophecies of the prophets. In other words, what they did was to bear him witness. The Word. Don't say the Word. That means it preceded the prophecies. He was not the light. John wasn't the light. He said the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. He came to the world even though the world was made by him, the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be called the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the key to knowing God is faith in Christ. You are not supposed to have faith in Abraham. You're not supposed to have faith in Moses. You're not supposed to have faith in Elijah. You have to have faith in who? Christ. Are you still there? We're going to see Moses shortly. You have to have faith in Christ. Because all of them prophesied and spoke that you should have faith in who? Christ. Not in them. Look at Matthew's Gospel 17. Are you in church? Are you in church? You know, people believe that they say we have three dispensations. The Old Testament dispensation of the Father. Or God, where he came out in his almightiness. His breath will consume everybody. Then the New Testament, the four gospels of the Son. The Son is a gentle person. Very gentle. You say, now, we are in the dispensation of the Spirit. The Spirit is the gentlest of all of them. He's a dove. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen people say, the Holy Spirit is here, then they say, keep quiet. Why did they say that? They're just being spooky. They keep quiet. He doesn't want movement. He doesn't want movement. Hallelujah. Nonsense. Now, follow this. In Matthew's Gospel 17, something unique happened. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus to a mountain. Matthew's Gospel 17. And then in verse 2, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said, Jesus, Lord, it's good that for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make there three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Verse 4:5. While he yet spake, nobody answered him. You know, there's some things you don't have to answer. You just look at the person. Move on. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Hallelujah. A bright cloud overshadowed them. A bright cloud. You see this. A bright cloud overshadowed them. Are you still there? You see this story in Mark 9 verse 7. The same story. Mark 9 verse 7 and Luke 9 34. Mark 9, 7, Luke 9, 34. I'm going to show you the relevance of that shortly. Now, before now, in Matthew's Gospel 3:17, and Mark 1, verse 11, Matthew's Gospel 3:17, Mark 1, verse 11, and Luke 3:22, and John 1:34. They are all the same. Matthew 3:17. Mark 1:11. Luke 3:22. And John 1:34. I'll take it again. Matthew 3:17. Mark 1:11. Luke 3:22. John 1:34. The same thing. Matthew 3:17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now, pay attention. Who was that statement for? Was it for those who were standing by or for John? John said, I saw John 1:34. The only unique one is John 1:34. Now, Matthew 3:17, a voice came unto John. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Because John was bearing witness for the light. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was a messenger sent before his face to prepare the way. So he says, look, I baptize with water, but he that comes after me is mightier than I. His shoe latchet, I cannot even untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John said that. So he was saying that and saying that until Jesus showed up. Then he heard the voice. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. John. So that was for who? That was for who? John. John 1:34. I bore record that this is the Son of God. So that was for who? It was for John. Listen carefully. John was a prophet of the Old Testament. And the role of the prophets was to speak concerning Christ. So, he was the only one, uniquely, who didn't just see Jesus in a vision, or saw him by prophecy. He was the one who saw the fulfillment of the prophecy. So, Jesus said, he is the greatest of all the prophets. Why? Because he saw the fulfillment of the incarnation. But didn't see the fulfillment of his resurrection. But he became the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. But notice that the importance of that was, this is my beloved son. Notice the word, in whom I am well pleased. Who was that for? John. Are you listening? Because that vision was not for everybody. John was the one who saw the vision. John was the one who heard the voice. And so John says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now listen. In Matthew chapter 17, where we were before now, are you listening? Matthew 17. Something significant happened. You discover that Peter gave the historical account of this and did something that If you don't pay attention, if you didn't pay attention, you will know that was what he was doing. You know, his request was that, can we build 3 tabernacles? And people are building that tabernacle today. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. Where? So you have Jesus, Moses, and Elijah dwelling in the same ministry. But as he said that, no one answered him. The Bible says, notice the next thing. Very significant. While he was yet, while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Hallelujah. Who are the them? Moses and Elijah. And says, behold the voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved one, we'll hear him now. Notice something. When Peter was going to render the same account, go to 2 Peter 1. The same account, beautifully, he said in verse 17, if I in 16, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're eyewitnesses of his majesty. Look at that. 2 Peter 1:16. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. What did he receive? What did he receive? When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Did you notice he didn't mention Elijah and Moses? Why? Because the significance of that event now dawned on him. Elijah and Moses symbolically were overshadowed. What do you mean overshadowed? The word overshadowed is the Greek word episkiazo. E-P-I-S-K-I-A-Z-O. I'll tell you what it means. E-P-I-S-K-I-A-Z-O. It means there was light. And they couldn't see them again. That's interesting. That is, they were covered up. They were covered up. You couldn't see them anymore. It's the same word when it says to overshadow. Alright? It's the same thing we can really relate with Mary Magdalene. I'm sorry, Mary the mother of Jesus. Luke 1:35. Which is the Spirit of God will overshadow you. Will overshadow, will overwhelm you. So in that instance, Elijah, who we can safely call of the prophets, and Moses, the law, they were overshadowed. And then that voice came and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Are you hearing this? What is the next thing he added to it? Hear ye him. Hallelujah. You see that? This is in verse 5. Can you see it in verse 5? Can you see it in Matthew 17:5? Hear ye him. Glory to God. Notice something. I want to show you something shortly. He said, hear him. Again, like we said earlier, the key to understanding God is having faith in who? Christ. He said, hear him. Notice what he says. Get back to that scenario again, Matthew 17. He says, and a bright cloud overshadowed them. What do you mean by bright cloud? The word clouds is not the normal clouds we talk about. We'll see how it is used in scripture so you have an understanding. It's the word Nephil. N-E-P-H-E-L-E. N-E-P-H-E-L-E. It's taken from the word Nephos. N-E-P-H-E-P-H-O-S. N-E-P-H-O-S. I said N-E-P-H-E-L-E. H-E-L-E, Nephil, from the Greek word Nephos, N-E-P-H-O-S. Let's see where it's used again. Look at Mark 14. Mark 14. Put your hands in Matthew 17. So Mark 14, verse 62. I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. In the clouds of heaven. Is that figurative or literal physical clouds? It's not physical clouds. Physical clouds come by rain. Hallelujah. Follow this, please. Luke 12, 52. Luke 12, 52. No, 54. Sorry for that. When you see a cloud arise out of the west, straight away you say, there come at a shower, and so it is. And when you see the cloud wind blow, you say, there will it be, it comes to pass. Now he's talking about a literal cloud. Are you there? But the first one we read now, was that a literal cloud? No. That's not a literal cloud. Cloud. Luke 21, 27. Luke 21, 27. Same word, you shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now look at Acts 1:9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. A cloud received them. Not the physical clouds. Received them out of their sight. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Someone said the cloud. Said the cloud. So you see the cloud here? Is that talking about the physical cloud? No. And we're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:17. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And when we then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What do you mean in the clouds? He had told you that in verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We say by the word of the Lord that which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So, he said that dead in Christ shall rise first. He said, then we shall meet with the Lord in the air. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, to be caught up will mean someone is here, then I meet up with him. That's what it means. In the clouds. Notice that. Is this physical cloud? Come on. Is this physical cloud? No, it's not. Jude 12. Are you still there? Jude 12 verse 1. Oh, sorry. Jude 12. Let's see verse 1. My mind had raced to another scripture. Jude 12. Alright. He says, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose shoot were with without fruits. So, cloud here, is it literal? No. Cloud here refers to people. Are you listening? Are you listening? Hebrews 12:1. We're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. So, the word cloud is used for a mass of people or things, a great company, oftentimes used for persons. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So if you see Jesus in a cloud, the persons will be who? The church. Hallelujah. So the clouds has to do with a mass company. That's why he says, we shall be caught up with them in the clouds. Because it's a mass of people, or persons, or personalities. Hallelujah. So the church is superior to the law and the prophets. Superior. So when they were saying, can we build a tabernacle for Moses, one for Moses? See respect. Jesus is there. One for Moses, one for Elijah. Ah. There's only one cloud. Hallelujah. And Jesus is in that cloud. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, Moses and Elijah will be there as well because they are believers. Praise God. But they are not the leaders of the cloud. Hallelujah. They are believers. They have to also believe. Glory to his name. Are you still there? So, on the Mount of Transfiguration, we find, go back to Matthew 17. Are you learning some? Are you learning some? Matthew 17. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear him. Do you notice that? That means there will be people who will be identified like Jesus. God is a cloud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I said hallelujah. Do you know that after Jesus rose from the dead, he was not the only one called the beloved son of God. Everyone in that cloud. You and I in that cloud. Hallelujah. He said we're in that cloud. We are called the sons of God. Beloved. Praise God. In whom he is well pleased. Glory to his name. Now notice something there. I said glory to his name. Notice something that was added. There was something added that was not in the other accounts. But we'll check that shortly. He says, in whom I am well pleased. Which is in the other accounts. Basically you find in Matthew 3:17 again. Mark 1:11. Luke 3:22. Now what do you mean by well pleased? Matthew 12:18, using for Jesus. Matthew 12:18. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, have put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. You know, he wasn't called, I'm well pleased with him because of something he did. Don't get that right. You know, if someone does, if I send you on an errand, and you come back, and you do it well, I say, well, I'm pleased with what you have done. But here is Jesus before he sends to do anything. He said, in whom I am well pleased. Does it make sense to you? Are you following this? Come on, guys, are you following this? So that commendation was given before he began ministry. In whom I'm well pleased. Again, you see that in Luke 12:32 is the same place. Luke 12:32. Say, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see the same words? I'll just run through where you find it. Okay. Romans 15:26-27. Talking about Jerusalem and then the Gentile nations. 1 Corinthians 1:21. 1 Corinthians 1:21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It pleased God. Pay attention. 1 Corinthians 10:5. God was not pleased. Not well pleased. 1 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 5:8. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Paul is speaking here. We're confident and willing rather to be absent from the Lord, from the body, and the present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Okay. I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure. So, when he said pleased, is not to mark someone's record. It's to actually say, this is what delights me. This is what I want. This is what I want. This is who I want. This is what I've chosen. It has nothing to do with what the fellow has done. In fact, when I use the word pleased, I'm saying this is what I have done. This is my own will. So when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, that is, this is the one where you will find me. So that's why it's not like marking a script. It's actually declaring your intent, who you are and what you represent. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. Let me see if you understand it. So if I say, I'm well pleased with what you have done, that is, you have done something. But when I say, look, this is my pleasure. That is, this is my delight. I worked on this one myself. I put everything I want in this one. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Does it make sense to you? All right, follow this quickly. You see the same terms using Galatians 1:15. Galatians 1:15. Paul, about himself, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Notice these words are often used before any action is taken. This particular word is used. It's not the same thing as accepted. Or what's that word again? Dokimos. To test something. It's not the same thing. Now a womb I've tested. No. This is my will. This is what I've done myself. Galatians 1:15. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father. That is, this is what he wants. That in him should all the fullness dwell. This is what he wants. I say, this is the one I want. This is my beloved son, the one I want. The one I have chosen. The one I myself desire. Are you out there? Are you following this? Let's see another one. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. And being affectionately desirous of you, that is, we want you, we're willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. That is, this has nothing to do with you. This is about me. Hallelujah. Are you still there? 1 Thessalonians 3:1. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone. We thought it good. Praise the Lord. We thought it good. Let me ask one more that I haven't seen. Okay. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Worthy. This is worthy. Worthy of me. Praise God. So when you use the word, I'm well pleased. This is worthy of me. This one is my desire. This is what my will. This is, if you're looking for my pleasure, this is it. If you want to know how I think, this is it. If you want to know how I talk, this is it. If you want to know how I act, this is it. If you want to know what I want to, this is it. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Look at Hebrews 10:6. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, I have no pleasure. I did not initiate it. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Repeat it again. I have no pleasure. I don't want it. I didn't start it. I didn't say it's my will. Hallelujah. We saw that on Wednesday, right? I didn't want it. I don't want sacrifice. I don't want blood. That's what God is saying. I don't want blood. Hebrews 10:38, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So it's the word, the Greek word here is the word eudokeo. E-U-D-O-K-E-O. E-U-D-O-K-E-O. It means to think well of someone or something. It means to show preference. It means to show delight. To think well of, to show preference, and show delight. So, let's get back to Mount of Transfiguration. We have Moses, Elijah, and then he says, this is my beloved son. Agapetos in the Greek. That is, this is the one I want. This is the one I have desired. That is all along. This is the one I have desired. This is the one I have wanted. My son. So by saying this is my beloved son, that means it came from me. Hallelujah. In whom I am well pleased. In Romans chapter 1 verse 3 and 4, it says he was declared the Son of God by what? The resurrection from the dead. That is, that fact was not affirmed and proven when Jesus rose from the dead. The word declared Son of God is the word horizo in the Greek, H-O-R-I-Z-O. It means to mark him out. This makes him different from all other persons. Because he was the one that the Father, God, raised from the dead. Every other prophet died. Jesus died as well. But Jesus was raised from the dead. And then that marked him out and made him different from every other person who had come before him. This is my beloved son. The woman I'm well pleased. So you and I, hear me, must see that distinguishing factor. Jesus is not an addition to the law and the prophets. It's not an addition. It's not the best of them all. Or the chief commander of all the prophets of the Old Testament. No, he's not. Hallelujah. Pay attention. Matthew's Gospel 17 verse 5. So let's look at it again. This is my beloved son, in whom I... Can we change the words? What's your best way to look at it? Tell me your best use of words. This is my beloved son in whom I, what? Desire? Want something strong. What? Give me something. Huh? In what? In what I delight in. Okay? Can we say I delight to speak in? Speak through? Praise God. What else can we do? Huh? What is it? Whom I have pleasure. No, give it some push. Pleasure? What do you mean pleasure? Does he mean he was angry with the other ones? No. What's he saying? This is the one that represents me. Something like that, right? This is the one that you see him, you see who I am. Does it make sense? Okay. So, now look at the closing statement. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, did you notice that this was spoken to prophets? It was spoken to a prophet, John the Baptist, and spoken about them. Because John the Baptist heard it. Moses and Elijah obviously were not on that mount. They were just figurative. Okay? So, it was for who now? It was for the disciples. So, were eyewitnesses of his majesty. It was for them to hear. To see it. Now, look at the closing statement. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, verse 5. What was added? Huh? Hear ye him. Hallelujah. Now, you know, we've already seen the law and the prophets were there. Why would you now say hear him? You can't build tabernacles for the three. They came to bear witness of him. So you hear him. Now the word to hear him, pay attention, is the word akohu H-A-K-O-U-O, it means to listen. It means to heed to. Akuo means to observe. A-K-O-U-O, to listen and then to heed. Oftentimes the response in Akuo is you believe and then you follow. Pay attention. Remember, what did Isaiah say, Isaiah 53 verse 1? He says, who has believed our report? Shemua, I believe, in the Greek, in the Hebrew. Who has believed our report about who? About Jesus. Because the report of all the prophets was about who? Jesus. The same statement was repeated in Romans 10, 16. Who has believed our report? So then faith cometh, or faith is by hearing, and hearing the word of who? Christ. So faith in God is faith in who? Christ. So I repeat myself again. Faith in God is faith in who? Christ. Faith in God is faith in Christ. Look at John 5:45. Before we go to John 5:45, look at John 1:18. You have to settle that in your mind. Every time we talk about God and His character, we have to tell people who are believers that, didn't you believe in Jesus? You see, I know that Jesus did not do evil. But what about, you know, didn't you find out, but your faith is in Jesus. Yes. Are we now saying the others are not men of God? See, you are confused. You are very, very confused. Your faith is in who? Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Someone was asking me a question. I said, but Ananias and Sapphira died by Peter. I said, have faith in Christ. But is that not Peter? After the resurrection? Is that after the resurrection? Is that after the New Testament? I said, have faith in Christ. Hallelujah. I said, are you sure you can do everything Peter did? So when I began to highlight, the person just went quiet. Have faith in Christ. This is what I've said now is a misnomer, because you're already a believer. But I think we need to start preaching it. Have faith in Christ. John 1:18. Jesus was very clear. John 1:18. John said, no man has seen God at any time. John, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared. Do you believe that statement? Come on, do you believe that statement? Sometimes we have to ask those questions. John 3:36. John 5:36. For I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Let's take verse 57 together. Everybody, 57. I'll wait for you. Let's go. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Hallelujah. He's saying that all along, you have been following men. Praise God. Do you know what they wrote? That you're following. You know, nobody will argue that. So have you seen his shape? No. Have you heard his voice? No. And you have not his word abiding in you. But whom he has sent, him you believe not. And he says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. That they will testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life. What was he saying? Quickly go to verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. No, he was talking about the scriptures. Now, look up. What are the scriptures? What was written? Come on. What are the scriptures? What are the scriptures? What was written? Now pay very good attention here. You know, the discussion was upon, was the discussion they had was on the Sabbath that Moses gave them. So he was, that was how they got to verse 35, 36, 37. Then Jesus now says to them, do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. The word trust, there is the epistle in the Hebrew, in the Greek. The epistle means you were hoping for something from Moses, whereas Moses had nothing to give you. He said, Moses accuses you before the Father. He said, but I won't do it. That means there are things Moses wrote that is not about Jesus. Are you there? There are things Moses wrote that is not about God. Can we say, if it's not about Jesus, it's not about God? You still don't believe that? Okay. Can we say, if it's not about Jesus, it's not about God? Do you believe that? Let me ask again. Because you know, that thing battles people's minds a lot. Can we say, if it's not about Jesus, it's not about God? Do you believe it? Did Moses accuse them? Huh? That means the word accuse there is the word categorio. It's the same word in Revelation 12:11. The accuser of the brethren, which accuses us. That means to bring a charge against you. To say you have done wrong. He says, Moses accused you. He said, but I won't. That means Moses said things that were not about God. You are still looking. Have faith in Christ. Does it mean that Moses said things that were not about God? When Moses told them an eye for an eye, was that God speaking? That is the mildest of. Hallelujah. When it says, thou shalt not, I've explained it here to you. That what they did, that you go and get the books, two kinds of righteousness. What they did was that the promise of the Spirit was turned around like an instruction. I've explained that to you before. Well explained. So there's one that accuses you. So I won't do it. So right there in the scriptures, you will find statements by men of God that is not the word of God. Is that correct? There's one that accuses you. He says, Moses, in whom you trust, helpizo. That is, as he was accusing you, you were hoping for something. Hopeless hope. That's what he meant by you think you have eternal life. You can't get eternal life. Praise God. Do you get what he's talking about? Eternal life is in someone. Is in a person. Are you still there? Look at the next verse. For had you believed Moses? Now look at two things. He said, Moses accused you. You had hope. They said, if you had believed Moses, that means Moses had two messages. There was one to be believed. Hallelujah. He had the message of faith. Then he had one. If you had believed Moses. Now, is he talking about the accusation here? Huh? No. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Why? Because Moses did what? He wrote of me. Hallelujah. So Moses wrote two things. He wrote about sin and wrote about Jesus. Does it make sense now? Does it make sense? He wrote about sin and he wrote about Christ. Are you still there? Is this getting clear to you? In the same book. He wrote about Jesus. And when he writes about Jesus, there will be no accusation. But when he writes the other side, which is plenty, If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Do you believe accusation? No. So, if he writes accusations, that's the law. He's condemning and making demands. But when he's talking about faith, a promise will be made. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So, Moses' writings will be full of what? Legal requirements and then promises. The legal requirement, is that about Christ? Is that about Christ? Is that about God? No. That's about them. Because he accuses them. So he will write things about them, then write things about Christ. Do you understand now? Do you understand? He will write about them, then write about Christ. Is this very clear? So let's follow through. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So quickly, look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 30, the same Moses. Moses. Verse 11. After giving many commandments, 612, almost toward the end of his life, he now says in verse 11, look at this, I tell them in verse chapter 28, if you act into the commandments of the Lord your God, and he wrote that commandments, he said, there's a sign, this one should stand here, this one should say, Amen. This, Deuteronomy 30. Now look at what he now says. Verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee today, this is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. Can you imagine? It's not hidden from you. That's what Paul was saying, the word is nigh thee. Hallelujah. It's the same place Paul quoted it from. It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up to heaven for us, or bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou should say, who shall go by the sea for us to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. The word is very near unto you, in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. After giving them several words, that's a discommandment. Just one. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. Look at how Paul explained it. No, before we go there, look at what he says. I've said before thee today, life and good, death and evil. So, Moses always set before them how many things? Two things. The gospel of Christ and then condemnation. But the ones people have done Bible study over, and they know it by, they even know where the comma is, the full stop is death. Life and death. But he wasn't a bad man. He said, I command you this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his wisdom, to keep his commandments and statutes and judgments, to live and multiply, and the Lord God shall bless you. That the heart run away, thou shalt not hear, and thou shalt not. Then he says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record to this day against you. Against you. I've set before you life and death. Blessing and curses. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Well, how do you say life? He said it is in your mouth and in your heart. Paul says in Romans chapter 10 verse 8. He says the righteousness which was faith, verse 6, speaketh not in this wise. Who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or go into the deep abyss to bring Christ again back to life from the dead. But what does it say? The word is nigh you, in your mouth and in your heart. Verse 8. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Did Moses preach the gospel? Huh? Did he also preach condemnation? So they are Moses. He gave them life in the words. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise unto thee, up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken. Can you imagine? He said the Lord will raise someone. Is that person that you should listen to? So, did he put a disclaimer on himself? He did it. Deuteronomy 18 verse 15. Hallelujah. In my same place. He said, whom he you hear is the Hebrew word Shema. It means to obey and believe. To obey and believe. Deuteronomy 18 again, verse 18. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Again. So listen carefully. Whatever Peter, James, and John heard on Mount Transfiguration had been said before. Hear him. So did Moses write about Jesus? Yes. He said, but you didn't believe him. Moses told you there's somebody coming after me. That's when you hear. But you are still searching his writings. For in them you think you have eternal life. You will not come unto me. Are you listening here? Does that verse now make sense to you? You won't come unto me. For Moses wrote concerning me. Are you listening? Very good. Please follow this quickly. In Acts 3:22, the same thing was said. Acts 3:22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. He combines two verses. Deuteronomy 18 verse 15 and 18. In all things. Let me ask you. Look up. Look up please. When he said that, did they know what he was going to tell them to do? No. So Moses put a disclaimer on his 612 laws. Am I making sense here? You know, Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He now said, this is the condemnation. That he that believes is saved, he that does not believe is already condemned. This is a condemnation. That they love darkness rather than the light. Hallelujah. It's the same thing. Moses wrote things that did not condemn. Are you following what I'm saying here? So listen now. Acts 7:37. Stephen also preached about this. Moses, which said unto you of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall you hear. That's repeated again. Him shall you hear. Acts 7 verse 37. So why then did he give them the law? Because God did not give the law. God is not bipolar. Praise the Lord. Are you still out there? Are you still there? God didn't give them the law. Deuteronomy 32 verse 20. Deuteronomy 32 verse 20. I expect every member of this church to be able to explain this fact to anybody. Because I've taken the last few years to explain this to you over and over again. Deuteronomy 32 verse 20. I will hide my face of them. I will see to the end. For they are a very poor generation. Children in whom is no faith. That's the reason why he gave them the law. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. Hebrews 4 verse 2. Remember Paul said the law is not made for a righteous man. Hallelujah. Who is a righteous man? A man who has believed the gospel. Are you still out there? The law is not for someone who has believed the gospel. Hebrews 4:2. Are you in church? Are you in church? Hebrews 4:2. Let's take it together, everybody. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now, who are the them? Let's find out who the them are. Go back to Hebrews 3. Verse 10. I'll start from 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost here today, if you would hear his voice. There's just one voice he has. Had not your heart as the new in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always hear in their heart and have not known my ways. Where are they erring? Where do they err? Where do they err? In their heart. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take it, brethren, lest be in any of you an evil heart of what? So what is the erring? Thank you. In departing from the living God. To exhort one another today, what is called today? Daily what is called today? Let any of you be hardened to the decision of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, and the provocation, for some when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all them that came out of Egypt by Moses, with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was he not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? Let's take verse 18 and 19 together. To whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest? To them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Because of what? Is this very consistent? Look at Hebrews 4. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It wasn't mixed. The same word was preached unto them. Not mixed with faith that heard it. When Paul says, if the word is neither in your heart nor in your mouth, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, did Moses preach that same thing? Moses preached the same message. Hallelujah. He preached Romans 10. Moses preached Romans 10, verse 8 to 10 in the wilderness. Are you listening? Verse 4. Verse 3. Let's take verse 3 together, everyone. Let's go. For we which have believed, have you heard people say today, say, I've entered his rest. They say it so often. I'm entering into his rest. I say, do you know you're talking about salvation? So his rest, I'm entering into his, that means I'm always smiling. I'm entering into his rest. You think it's normal rest? Hallelujah. Rest means do nothing. That is, your works are not required. That's what it means. I explained it to you before. Your works are not required. It was first used in Genesis 2 verse 1 to 3. Now follow this one. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Are you still in church? Praise God. So when he was saying, harden not your heart when you hear his voice. What was the voice? The gospel. Praise God. So what was the voice of God all through the Old Testament? What did you call it? What was the voice walking in the garden? The gospel. Praise God. It's the same thing. God's never changed. God has never changed. Why did Moses then give them the law? Matthew 19. They came to Jesus and said, the Pharisees, in verse 3, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Matthew 19, verse 3. He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? This is the book of Genesis. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be twain, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. That what therefore God has joined together, let man persona. So Jesus was saying this as at Genesis chapter 2. Listen very well. Then he now said, why did Moses? Where was Moses? Exodus. Numbers, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? That is, there's a contradiction. He said there's no contradiction. So there's a contradiction in the Bible. What you are saying, he says there's no contradiction. Jesus said, Moses, notice verse 4, he that made them at the beginning, that is God. Then who are we quoting next? Moses. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. What's hardness of the heart again? Huh? Good. Suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. The word hardness of the heart is the word sklerokardian. S-K-E-L-E-R-O-K-A-R-D-I-A-N. I won't repeat the entire word for you, you know. Hallelujah. Which means that Moses, because you did not believe what? Huh? Did not believe what?
Moses or God? So because you didn't believe God, Moses gave you man. Hallelujah. Are you following this at all? Where is the voice of God? In the voice of God, you will not have your works involved. You will cease from your works. In the voice of man, it will be your works. Your works. So Moses, in view of what was in your heart, what did he do? He gave you a law. So the law was given to sinners. The law of Moses is not the law of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, he calls it the law of what? Sin and death. Which of them can you find in God? I'm asking the question. Is God the sin, or is it death, or is it sin and death? Which of them can you find in God? Because it's the law of sin and death. Which of them can you find in God? Are you sure? Think about it very well. The law of sin and death. Maybe the Father is sin, the Son is death. Then the Holy Ghost is condemnation. Hallelujah. The law of sin and death. Can we say the law of works? Yes. That's why in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, are you learning something? Did God give the law? Did God give the law? Romans 3 verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. To who? To them who are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So the essence of the law is to make everybody become guilty before God. Do you notice that? He didn't say, this is what God says, this is what the law saith. That the world may become guilty before God. But look at the next verse. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is not of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. So is it God that is making all men become guilty before him? No. Hallelujah. Is that not clear to you? Is it clear? That all men may become guilty before God. The law of sin and death. So when you read for all have sinned, that's not God, that's the law. When you hear for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where did that statement come from? You are still not believing. We just read, is that statement a statement of the gospel? When you are preaching, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you know. That statement is a statement of the law. Say, what thing said the law? He says to them who are under the law, that the whole world may become guilty before God. Is that a statement from God or from the law? Is that a statement from God or from the law? So when you hear all have sinned, what is he quoting? Hallelujah. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God is not a statement of the gospel. It's not a statement from the mouth of God. It's not a statement from the mouth of Jesus. It's a statement of the law. It is a statement of condemnation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Follow this. In Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, and sin is not imputed where there is no law. So all have sinned there is talking about what? Because sin is not imputed when there is no law. Praise God. Are you getting this? The word sin is not imputed is the Greek word elogio. E-double-L-O-G-E-O. It was used by Paul in Philemon 18. Where he says, if this guy has done anything, charge it to my account. He has done you any wrong. So, what it says, there's no, without the law, sin is not imputed. That is, sin is not charged to anyone's account. So, who charged sin to people's account? God or the law? God or the law? Did God give the law? No. Why was the law given? Because of unbelief. Is it making sense to you? Follow this. Again, don't forget Moses. Moses wrote about Jesus and wrote about them. And Jesus said, look, if you had believed his writings, you would have believed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you will not come to me that you may have. You may what? Have. You may have life. Glory to God. I said glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Look at it. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespasses. Notice, if he has said not imputing their trespasses again, that means he was doing it before. He was not imputing their trespasses. The word imputing is the word logizomai. It means he was not writing it to anybody's account. God does not write sins to people's accounts. Does it mean people don't sin? People sin, no. But God doesn't write to anybody's account. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the only thing he takes note of? Have you observed it? What is it? Huh? Faith and unbelief, no. Unbelief. Because when you don't believe, that's unbelief. When you believe, that's faith. What are you supposed to believe? You're supposed to believe that. What are you supposed to believe? Huh? What are you supposed to believe about Christ? What exactly? Huh? That the devil calm down. Don't rush. What are you supposed to believe? You're supposed to believe that your sins will not be tied to your account. Hallelujah. You're supposed to believe that. When you believe that, you have believed in God. That's how to believe in God. Hallelujah. Should I say it again? How to believe in God is to know that your sins will not be charged to your account. That's how to believe in God. Is that not how you believe the gospel? What's the gospel? Huh? Is that the gospel? That's how to believe in God. Are you following this? Hallelujah. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for what? What did he believe? Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. That was he believed. Whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Is that not the blessedness of Abraham? That's the blessing of Abraham. Are you following this? Calm down. Look up again. Let me say it again. Believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you ask anybody, do you believe in Jesus? We need to ask people. You know, people, do you know you can have a church service and Jesus is hardly preached? 17 principles, 14 ways you hear about Nehemiah, Obadiah, Esther, Ruth. What about Jesus? Hallelujah. People find Jesus too boring, meek, mild, gentle, too unrealistic, too babyish, lambish, too docile. No action. So, they won't find a word from his mouth to kill enemies. They will now go and search out the Old Testament. And link things together. Hallelujah. Because it's altogether lovely. It's altogether lovely. So, it will annoy a man who is used to love sin and death. Hallelujah. Because I was reading somewhere, I said, look, that when an unbeliever prays in the mosque, I said the Muslim, that God hears him, some people's eyes just changed. I said, because he makes his son to rise on the weekend. I said, are you unhappy that your father is kind? You are sad because your father is kind. Why should he be? Why should he be? What is the benefit of our salvation? What the hell is the benefit of our salvation? If I cannot be killing people, if I cannot dominate people. You are the one Moses was accusing before the Father. You need an accuser of the brethren. We have not so known God. We have known God in Christ Jesus. You have known God in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:8. So what did Abraham find? Let's look at it. I don't want us to rush it. Romans 4:1. What did Abraham, the Jews, as pertaining to the faith, what has he found? If he were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. But what say the scriptures? Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 4. Not to him that walk is the reward, nor record of grace, but of death. But to him that walks not. Because he walks not. But believes on him that justifies the ungodly. But his faith is counted for righteousness. So what do you believe? That God will justify me in spite of my works. Hallelujah. That's what you believe. Even as David described the way of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Let's take verse 7 together. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, did God start being like that because Jesus came? No, God preceded, this preceded the law. That's what Paul is saying, that the law was just Moses. And we'll see something shortly, maybe second service. The law was not the handiwork of God at all. You can see God. He imputes righteousness without works. Hallelujah. You know, some people's minds are not settled yet. Pastor, don't scope us. Pastor, don't scope us. Pastor, please. I believe you, sir. Pastor, please. I know you are trying to teach us and know we are in Christ, but can you just tell us the whole truth? How can this be Almighty God? Hallelujah. That's who He is. Amen. Stay with that and believe it. Amen. Galatians 3:8. What did Abraham hear? Galatians 3:8. And you know, people go to church, they sing praise worship hours and hours while they should be spending time to hear God's word. Because you are praising somebody you don't even know. That's why you'll be calling him all sorts of names. And the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So what did Abraham hear? What did Abraham hear? What did Abraham hear? The gospel. He saw it ahead of time. Hallelujah. The same word, Purao, was used for Jesus. Acts 2.25, Acts 2.31, and Acts 21.29, that's not about Jesus, but Acts 2.25 and Acts 2.31. So the scriptures were written ahead. He was foretold the gospel in the death of Jesus, in his resurrection, most importantly. The gospel preceded the law. So can we say confidently that the gospel was before the law? Was the gospel before the law? Was the gospel also with the law? Yes, no. So you will choose. The law was given by Moses, Didomi. He offered it. You can choose not to take it. He himself, tell me one single sacrifice Moses offered. Did he go into their temple with them? He didn't go. He gave it to sinners. Those temples were for sinners. When David caught a hold of it, he said, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He knew it's not a building. When he said he should not build the temple, he gave money to his son. He knew he was going to be in Christ. You go into the temple. Hallelujah. Moses, he will tell them to offer this one, cleanse their body. But when he's talking to God, Moses goes alone with nothing. With nothing. He will cover anything with the blood. He said, you. Say, put the promulgate when you enter. You think it's not ringing? So he was, he did not do anything. Hallelujah. That guy was something else. He now said, after knowing his ways, he now came again and said, show me your glory. Alone. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. So Allah, my God, he let those ones be suffering for their unbelief. I gave you the gospel. No, you know, you can't, because he told them about the gospel and they said, we don't want to hear God. Be our mediator. You want me to be your mediator? He said, Moses, you stand before us and God. You want me to be your mediator? No problem. He was giving them serious mediation. Hallelujah. We thank God for Jesus. Is God revealed to us? Amen. Believe in Jesus. So when Moses was writing to them, you know, we said the book of Genesis is teaching ministry. Where it says, and God said, let there be light. Paul now explained it to us that Moses was not talking about the physical light because he talked about the sun later. Hallelujah. What is that light? Let there be. So when Moses was talking about darkness and light, he was talking about the heart of man. Praise God. Are you here? Paul said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Hallelujah. What was Moses doing? Moses was writing. You know, the book of Genesis was not written to you. Let me ask you a question. When they asked Jesus about divorce, and he said, in the beginning it was not so, who wrote it? Who wrote the law? It's the same person. The same person offered you the will of God and the will of man. The same person. The same person spoke about Christ. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Moses wrote that so that we will know that there is the man, Christ Jesus. That could have been Adam. That can't be image of God. No, Adam is not image of God. The image of God is Christ Jesus. He wrote about Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Paul said that when he says, for this cause, I'll leave his father and mother, and there'll be one flesh. He said, this is a mystery concerning Christ and the church. So, Moses was writing in figures of speech. But he was not writing to us. Hallelujah. Are you following this? We should spend time. You see, going to church to be singing, it doesn't make sense. You are even singing what you don't know. Jesus said you worship what you don't know. Hallelujah. You don't even know him. Some praise and torture is for Satan. It's Satan that they are worshiping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses was a man whose character reflected in the laws he gave. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus 2. If you have never listened to this series before, please go and do it. The Law and the Prophets. I mean, we did a study on the Law of Moses. I mean, you need to go and study that. And I think, basically, Law and Prophets. We have series 1 and 2, okay? Uh-huh. Exodus 2 and 11. Look at this. Look at Moses. Verse 11. Moses was grown. He went out to the building and looked on their bodies and spied on the Egyptians smiting on an Hebrew, one of his brethren. He looked his way that way, Exodus 2:12. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. And hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, two men, the second day, he was saying, why do you smite the brethren? Who has made you a prisoner and a judge over us? So it was a man given to killing. Can you see it? Can't you see? He wrote it himself. So he now ran away from Pharaoh. Look at chapter 5. He was a man given to anger. See how he wasted the firstborn children of Egypt. You know why? He was taking revenge. Pure revenge. See what he did. He told them that in Deuteronomy 28, and I don't want to talk about Moses too much today. He told them that, look, these blessings shall follow you, overtake you if you do this. Do you know the same blessings he was talking about, they were enjoying? He now said, when I go, because I'm not going to be with you in Canaan. Eh? These curses shall follow you. Blessings they were already enjoying. Are you following this? Look at this. Exodus 5. Moses, thus said the Lord, Lord of Israel, let my people go, and they may hold the feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither I let Israel go. The God of Israel, you have met with us. Let us go. We pray 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice the Lord God, lest he fall upon us. Did he ever hear that from anybody? Let's fall upon us with pestilence and with sword. Can you see? Did he ever hear this from anybody? Whoever threatened them that if you don't leave Egypt, you will die. See Moses. His anger is... No, you know, who said the anger is going for me? That's David. Look at that. So, why did he give laws? He gave laws to these people because of their unbelief in the gospel. Look at this. Deuteronomy 27. Quickly. I have to hurry up. Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And he gave them commandments. We don't have time to read through all that. And shall, on the day that when you shall, notice the verse 2, it says, and shall be on the day that when you shall pass over Jordan to the land which the Lord shall give thee. So, when he gave them the laws, they were for, were they for the 40 years or after? Talk to me. It was for the promised land. That is why, and now that promised land is where? Is found in Christ. It's not a place. It's in a person. So the laws were the promise of the Spirit. I've explained that to you before. So here you are. He gives them instruction. Look at verse 12 to 26. I'm just going to read it. Cost. You now go to verse 25. Cursed be he that takes reward to slay an innocent person. Another people shall say amen. They will say amen. Amen. Cursed be he that confirms all the words of this law to do there. And all the people shall say amen. Hallelujah. That's Moses. Then, Deuteronomy 29, verse 1 to 6. He condemned them for not perceiving, for not believing. 1 to 6. In verse 4. He says, here the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and ears to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Then now go to verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And those who are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. After saying all that, was when you now go to chapter 30. And said, I said before you life and death, that you don't have to go anywhere. The word is in your heart. And in your mouth. That is, can you see that he presented two different things? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. Let me see if you understand what we're saying here. So he brought the gospel and he also presented condemnation. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, who appointed him as mediator? They appointed him themselves. Look at Acts 7. So, they gave him the authority. And glory be to God, Moses is not our own mediator. Hallelujah. Acts 7:53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. By the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Exodus 20 verse 19, quickly. This is just, I know we have taught this before, just for you to go over it again. Exodus 20 verse 19. And he said unto Moses, speak with us, and we'll hear you. Let not God speak with us, lest we die. He said, speak with us. We want you to be the one to be talking to us. So, they appointed him as their mediator. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. You know, God's promise was that they would become a kingdom of priests, alright? And a kingdom of kings. He said, look, leave all that one. You talk to us directly. Forget that office. We don't want that office. You. And is that not what we are today? We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Amen. Why? Because we have believed the gospel. So they appointed him as their mediator. Galatians 3:19. Are you there? Are you there? Let's start from 17. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that you make the promise of non-effect. Hallelujah. For if the inheritance be by the law, of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Let's take verse 19 together. Wherefore then serveth the law? Wherefore serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Who's that mediator? So, who ordained angels? Who ordained angels? Moses now. In fact, the angels went out of hand at the point that Moses began to quake. Say, ah, what is this? You have gone beyond. He ordained the angels. Because angels serve man. I hope you know that. We taught that severally. Look at 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Hallelujah. We have just one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. So James 1:20. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? James 1:20. The wrath of Moses worketh not the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. The wrath of Moses worketh not the righteousness of God. Because in the wrath of man, Romans chapter 10 verse 1 to 3 says they were establishing their own righteousness and ignorant of the righteousness which is of God. They were ignorant of that. Romans chapter 10 verse 4. Being ignorant, verse 3, sorry, of the righteousness of God, they went about establishing their own righteousness. Galatians 3:11. That's why you kept reading that there's no one justified by the law in the sight of God. Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by what? Faith. Same thing you will see. Romans 3:21, the one we read, 22, 23, 25, and 26. That the righteousness which is apart from the law. It's apart from the law. Hallelujah. Romans 3, just read from verse 21 to 26. Are you there? Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 13:39. I want us to read that one together. Acts 13:39. Are you there? Let's start from 38. Acts 13:38. Let's go. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, for which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Hallelujah. Are you there? Acts 15:10. Peter says, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why? Because, listen, the law only creates hypocrites. The law creates hypocrites. So Peter was saying, we know ourselves. I mean, John, James, we know, are we able to bear these things we are telling them to do? Everyone just kept quiet. Okay, Peter, Paul and Barnabas, talk. No problem. Don't go into that. Just, hallelujah. Are you there? So faith in Christ is the key. Praise God. So the faith in Christ. That's how you know God. Faith in Christ. Not in Aaron and not in the animals. Because the law that instituted offering animals is the law of sin and death. We saw it on Wednesday. It was man's sin consciousness and works that made him come before God with offerings. The gospel says you will do nothing. God will be the one walking. But the law of sin and death says you will be the one walking. I was saying some people were talking together. I said, we should actually be singing it like this. We are faithful, O Lord. You are grateful, O Lord.
for all we have done for you. We are faithful, oh Lord.
Hallelujah. That's what the Lord is saying. But glory be to God.
We are the ones that are grateful. He's the one that is faithful.
Hallelujah. That's the gospel. We're the ones that are grateful. He's the one that is faithful. Amen. Romans 8:2 says it's the law of sin and death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death.
Hallelujah.
And glory be to God. God is not sin. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God.
Hallelujah.
Is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is not the author of the law of sin and death. What he offers is the gift of what? Eternal life. So say eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 15:56. It says the strength of sin is what? So how can God be the one to give the law? The strength of sin is what? The strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. But say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hallelujah.
He didn't give us the law, he gave us the victory.
Hallelujah.
He didn't give us the law, he gave us the victory. So God is not found in the law. They are not his demands. The law are sins, the laws, or the law is sins the man. And glory be to God, Jesus met the demands.
I said Jesus met the demands of sin.
I said Jesus met the demands of sin. Matthew 26:28. This is the blood of the new covenant in my, this is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of sins of many. So was it God that wanted blood? Was it God that wanted death? Talk to me. Was it God that wanted death? What demanded death? Sin.
Hallelujah.
So, who did Jesus offer his blood for?
Nobody.
What did Jesus offer his blood for?
Sin.
Is that very clear? Let's say it again. Who did Jesus offer his blood for?
Nobody.
What did he offer his blood for?
Sin.
Is it not clear? Okay, let's go over it again. What demanded death? God or sin? What held man in captivity?
God or sin?
So who paid the price of that captivity?
God in Christ.
Was he praying to himself? Who demanded vengeance for man's actions?
Sin.
Sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Acts 20:28. Are you there? Are you following this? Take it therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. He purchased, he bought it. He bought it with the blood of his own. Listen carefully now. I want to say a few things. I think I'll build on it either this after in the second service. Listen very well. I said on Wednesday that the word used for forgiveness of sins is aphesis. Can you remember that? Aphesis, which means a release. So, when Jesus paid, listen carefully, when Jesus paid the price, please look up, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Allow me this afternoon. This, when he paid the price for sins, was it God saying to us, I'm not angry with you? Or was it a release from sins? Let me repeat myself again. Was it so that when God sees the blood, you say, don't worry, I won't be angry with you?
Mm-mm.
It is not in his nature. Hallelujah. So, the forgiveness which is aphesis is his remission of sins. Found in the blood of Jesus is a deliverance from what? Is a deliverance from what? Is not a pardon from God. God's nature pardons without any sacrifice. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let me go over it again. God is not the one that needs blood to forgive. It's his nature to what? However, listen carefully. Because of the demands of sin, God met that demand for us in Christ. And what did we get? Remission, which is the same word, forgiveness. What is remission? To be released from the hold of sin. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Listen carefully. So, in the blood of Jesus is that release. Ephesians 1:7. The riches of his grace, which he called the forgiveness of sins. The riches of his grace, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Price was paid. Colossians 1:14 is the same thing. So when you hear propitiation, that is, a demand was satisfied. Is it God's demand or sin's demand? Is it very clear? So, sin's release, sin's demands were all met by the death of Jesus. So what role did God play? God commended his love towards us. Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand it now? So God's role is not to receive the death of Jesus, is to offer it. Let me see if you understand that. He didn't offer himself. Praise God. He didn't offer it to himself. Does this make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Romans 8:32. He who spared not his own son, but gave him up to die for us. He didn't say took his death from us. Gave him up to die for us. Shall he not with him freely give us of all things? Hallelujah. So what comes to us? Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, listen carefully. What did he offer to God? His blood or the eternal Spirit? Why? Because when he became the eternity or the eternal nature is when he rose from the dead. So when, listen carefully now. What did he offer the eternal Spirit for? To purge our, what is in your conscience today? The Spirit of God. Are you listening? Is it the blood that is in your heart? Which blood entered your heart? Who put blood there? What is in your heart? If it's blood that entered your heart, that means it's death that entered your heart. Hallelujah. For glory be to God, his life is in our hearts. He has purged our conscience with his Spirit to serve the living God. Are you there? Have you seen the wrath of God? Who has seen it? We are still looking for the wrath of God. Can you find it for me? Have you seen the wrath of God? Who has seen the wrath of God? Have you seen his anger so far? Have you seen it? What we have seen so far is his compassion, his love. But we can still search. I think we can do some more search. It's possible. Don't let's give up. We should not give up. But look at something. John 3:36. See, the day we stop this Christianity of meeting needs. Needs are met. I will just know him. Praise God. Just know him. Altogether lovely. Altogether wonderful. Praise God. Look at this. John 3:36. Are you in church? Let's take it together. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Yeah. The wrath of God? He that believes not. Are you serious? The wrath of God abides but on he that believes. The wrath of God. We have seen it finally. Matthew 3:7. John the Baptist, you won't blame me. Isaiah promises, come to this house with him. He said unto them, oh, tell your members, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The man is angry. He didn't stop there. He said, he shall baptize you, verse 11, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand? He will punch through the floor. And get his wisdom to the shelf. And he will burn up the shelf with unquenchable fire. Everybody, hey. Same person. Holy Ghost and fire. Two extreme things. One single person. Did you observe that Jesus did not mention the fire? Acts 1:5. So say, we baptize with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't add fire. Hallelujah. He didn't add fire. It's the same way you will see Isaiah prophesied. This is where a lot of us upon me. Isaiah 61 verse 1. He has anointed me. Look at it, Isaiah 61. He has anointed me to preach that tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open up the prison to them that are bound. After saying, open up the prison to them, preaching good things, he said to proclaim the assembly of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Do you see the contradiction? Glad tidings, release from prison, liberty, then acceptable year of the Lord, then vengeance. Jesus quoted him in Luke 4:18. He didn't add vengeance. He removed that one. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you following this? He removed that one. Why did he do that? Romans 4:15. We'll close on that. Romans 4:15. Look at this. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. He said the law worketh wrath. But Romans chapter 5 verse 8. God commended his love towards us while we are yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his Lord, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. God commended his love towards us. That's what we're going to find in Christ Jesus. The second service will explore the term, the wrath of God. And I tell you, after it, you would love him more. Amen. When you see him, you will know him. When you know him, you will love him. And when you love him, you want to serve him. I was telling someone yesterday, he said, you know, he had believed that, you know, yesterday or 2 days ago, if it's a preacher, in fact, he's a head of a clean organization, said, if you don't serve God, that some bad things will happen to you. So that God is warning you to come and serve him. And I asked him a question. Those who serve him, do bad things happen to them? He said, yes. I said, what is superstition about? He looked up. So let me ask you again, sir. Those who serve him, do the same things happen to them? He said, yes. I said, so where did you get the superstition from? He said, there are those who don't serve him and nothing happens to them. He said, yes. I said, it's the same thing. You are only being superstitious. He said, sir, look at me, sir. How long have you been in the ministry? He told me. I said, if you don't serve God, you won't do anything to him. You look at me. I say, I won't do anything. So let me tell you what serving God means. And I showed him the scriptures where Paul says we are slaves. Doulos in the Greek. Doulos means we are sons. We have rights and privileges. We now lay it aside because we love him. We now want to serve him. Hallelujah. We are not serving him out of fear. Ah, if I don't do it, what will happen? It's good to pray. You know, you pray daily, you pray all the time. But don't say, eh! I've not prayed. I've not prayed. And God said, I know. What have you been doing since? I've been waiting for your prayer since morning. I'm angry with you. Prayer is fellowship. Hallelujah. Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is not sacrificing to an angry God. When he doesn't hear your voice, he says, you have been talking to everybody but me. What if I just destroy you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you know the disciples were sleeping on several occasions? I thought they would open their eyes again. My glory is here and you are sleeping. God punish you. But we have not so known God. Hallelujah. Have faith in Jesus. our faith in Jesus.